Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Today we are going to be talking about a book. How to write a book? Should you write a book? Have you heard people say to you, where's your book? I don't know about you, but I have heard that saga for my past 45 years. It has been, what's the name of your book? Where can I find your book? Is your book on the shelves yet? Even all the way up until yesterday, someone said to me, gosh, I wish your book was done already. And every time I hear that, I feel like a two-year-old kicking his tantrum and saying, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to put it out there. I don't know what it's supposed to look like. I have all these writings. I've got 500 sheets. What do I do with it? I don't know. Well, today the answer is going to be coming from Tom Bird, and his book is Write from God, You, Words, Writing, and Your Divine Purpose. Because you know what? After you read the book, you say, okay, I'm just going to let all of that other stuff go, and maybe it is just divine timing, and you can go kicking and screaming, and apparently that's how I'm going, kicking and screaming. So, Tom, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'll tell you, Tom, I'm going kicking and screaming on this one. I even joined one of these, you know, I was gifted a scholarship, you know, I think it was like 8 weeks, you know, write your book in 8 weeks or whatever. And still I went through it and I said, oh, I've already got all those hundreds of pages. I got them on the desk and I totally walked away from it. And I went, oh, my gosh, can you believe this?
Yeah. Well, you know, as far as writing is concerned, and successful writing, frustration is the forefather of faith. And so if you're feeling frustrated, that's a good sign. That means you're ready to take the leap and overcome your fears and live your destiny as a writer. So frustration isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing because it empowers us to move beyond our fears and do what we've been wanting to do for a long time as authors. So you've just been building up for this moment.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and I can also see when I read in your book, you know, where things will totally fall away and fall apart and break down until you actually get to the point where you don't have any other choice but to follow that which you're supposed to do. And, you know, I can find that so profound right now because I'm trying to write websites and blogs and all this other stuff. And I say, oh, this just doesn't do it for me. It's just like, whatever. And, you know, and you just keep being right at that point where you're just going to have to either drop into the spot or you're just going to keep hovering over it. And I think that's what you talk about in your book is about how can you engage yourself in the process to be able to lock into it more often.
Well, I want to share a few things that are very important with your listeners and with yourself. Number one, when you employ the methods that I share, you return to the innate form of communication, that is writing. So writing is an innate form of communication. So it's not something that you have to rebuild up or you just have to rediscover. Mm-hmm. Second of all, if there's problems with your ability to write, your ability to write well, your ability to write consistently, your ability to write without pain, it's a result of something being wrong with the system that you're employing, not something wrong with you. And I want to repeat that again because that's really important.
Right.
If there's a problem with your writing, it's a result of something being wrong with the system that's being employed, not with the individual that's trying to write. You see, we've been taught that writing is a logical art form, a mental art form, an intellectual art form. which in one phase, a minimal phase, it is. But it is also a spiritual art form, an emotional art form, and a physical art form. And primarily, it's a spiritual art form. So when we ignore the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual, and just approach it from the mental point of view, it's like trying to drive a car with three flat tires. You're not going to go anywhere. It's going to be very difficult even trying. So it's very important to see writing from a holistic perspective, embrace it from a holistic perspective. And once you do that, you return to the innateness of writing. You get out of your head, and words start to spill out of you uncontrollably because they're in you. Mm-hmm. You see, the reason people want to write, Dr. Jeanette, is because there is material, there is divinely led material, whether it be a book, blogs, or a combination of all, stuck inside them trying to get out. That's the reason they want to write. It's because there is inspiration that wants to surface through the tangible result of the written word that is trying to get out of them.
You know, I think it is so interesting. I'm almost 60, as I believe you're in the same category. And I don't know about you, but I can remember going to Catholic school, and we had to diagram the sentence. Please tell me you remember that, and I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
You had to diagram the sentence, and if you didn't do it right, I was always left-handed. I always got slapped with a ruler on my left. And I think that really set me up to believe that there was only one way you could do it, and that was the right way. So to be able to have to banish that thought and do what you say in the book is about just letting all that other stuff flow instead of just the mental way is really it's quite a bit freeing, although it does take a leap for some people.
Well, it's about time everybody took a leap. I mean, frustration, again, is the forefather of faith. Once you get to the point where you're like, you know something? I've just got to get this book out of me. I've been trying for years. Nothing's working. Maybe I should try a different system. So when you get to that point, it becomes easy because you're willing to listen to the divine guidance of that voice and where it's taking you, because it's taking you down a different road than the intellectual is taking you. And you have to remember that the intellectual, the left brain inside of us, does not want you to succeed as a writer. Because when you succeed as a writer, you become vulnerable emotionally.
Right.
And the left brain's job is to keep us safe. So it's like, you know, I think you got a great book in you and all that, but, you know, you're going to end up writing something about your mother. Or you're going to end up writing something about your feelings. And we spend our whole life, this is your left brain talk, we spend our whole life keeping you safe. And you could blow it all with one book, with letting people know who you really are. And then maybe you wouldn't fit in society. And then maybe the worst of all cases would happen. People who love us, who we want to love us, don't love us any longer because we're so different. I see this being so unique.
You know, I can honestly say, as being the keeper of secrets, I believe that was my position this life. I could, if I ever put it all down on paper, I know that I kind of would be all blown away. You know what I mean? And not just the people,
yeah.
it would just be incineration time. Do you know what I mean? And when you kind of have that key to the vault, it's kind of hard to say that you really want to turn it. And many times you'll put it in and you'll test it and you'll let some of the light shine out, but holy heck, if you ever let that thing go, could you imagine? And so many people, I think, when I work with a lot of end-of-life clients, they say, you know, I just could never let it go. I could never, ever open that up. I could never, ever say what I really wanted to say or, you know, what I felt. And people die with themselves in them, not their story. They die with themselves inside because hardly anyone even knows who they are or what's special to them. You know, we go around and we say, well, they like to go to Florida and they like chocolate cake and didn't she like the color purple? And it was like, that is so superficial. You know, do you know anything of her heart or her soul? And they don't even know what you're talking about.
Yes. And, you know, I think every artist, every writer, and especially every human being is faced with the fact that they have a choice to either explore and express who they are in this life completely, or to hide who they are and live painfully to the end of the last days. And I know that in my circumstance as an artist and as an author, I faced that early on. I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania, a blue-collar town. I grew up to a blue-collar family who was abusive by nature. And that was just the generation I grew up in. You're just tough love to the death, to death. And, you know, I looked and thought, first of all, I didn't know why I was born to the family I was, because we were so different. Second of all, I had an innate draw to the herd, to be a part of my family, whether I fit or not. And around the age of 14, I looked at my life and thought, you know, I can either live my life for them and die, or live my life for me and live. And I realized at that time, I got this revelation, and during my adolescence, at the age of 14, I got this revelation that the only thing that I had that was different than anyone else had, the offer of the world and the offer of my family, was me. And if I really loved them, it didn't matter how they loved me, I could determine how I would love them. Would I be willing to love them with all my heart to offer them who I was, even though who I was may be rejected? And, you know, so I saw a reason for the purpose that I was born in the family I was, because it was like resistance training. If I could be me in the face of them, I could be me in the face of anyone. And that was a great opportunity for me. Mm-hmm. So I decided that I was going to tell them who I was. I was going to show them who I was. I was going to listen to their responses, but I was always going to go with my heart. And, you know, it worked out great. My family loves me immensely. They're not sure why. They often wonder when I'm going to grow up. Yet I'm more successful than anybody in my entire family. And, you know, when it comes down to it, I'm the youngest of my family, youngest of five children. When the stuff hits the fan, they call me because they know they can count on me, because I'm there, because I'm really there. I'm not just here physically. I'm not just a voice on the end of the line. I'm really there. And to be an author, you have to be really there. And the process takes you to being really there. It's impossible to actually complete a superficial book, because the fact that you'll be bored with it, so bored with it yourself, that you'll never finish it. So the first process, the first step in writing a book through the God consciousness is to go through a writer's catharsis, to return you to who you really are beyond all the things that you tried to be and weren't. So it's a writer's catharsis. Go ahead.
So, Tom, what do you do if it truly is a fact that if you sat and you wrote that you had acceptance then from those people, but other people don't?
And I didn't have acceptance from my family. I didn't have acceptance.
They didn't have anything. I mean, like, in other words, everyone and everything just disbanded. I've seen that happen quite often.
And you know something? When you show the world who you really are, you find out who really loves you. And if your list goes from 10 to 1, it's better to have one that has the ability to love you than 10 that you're depending on who you can't depend on.
Yeah, so, and I think that's very important what you just said, is because in effect, what you're really saying is if you can't shine the light of who you are, then all you're showing is something fake, and they're saying they like the outside wrapper, but they have no interest in knowing who you are. That's really a tough place to live.
Well, I think it's really a life or death situation, to be honest with you. I think the white light of God is white light of God, source, whatever you want to call it, He, She, It, is pouring into us all the time. But we can either let it come through us and come through our personality and be who we are, or we can stuff it. And if we stuff it, if we stuff it, and then it backs up on us and begins to stink and cause problems and cause disease and mental illness and wounds, mm-hmm. it begins to back up on us. And then it causes problems. So
I love it. Your dogs wanted to be heard. It's great.
Yeah, we had a pipe burst in my house last night, so I'm actually calling from my home.
Oh,
we got numbers all over the place. So that's probably indicative of me bursting forward.
Yeah.
I just wish it was showing other ways besides my pipes bursting, which is a kind of a messy thing.
You know, it's so funny what you just said about that, because on Christmas Day, I was just resonating it, such a strange chaos energy. I could just feel it. I was irritable. I was just, everything just wasn't in place or right or something. It just wasn't right. And I was like this when I got up for about 4 or 5 hours. And then all of a sudden, the electricity went off. And I had all of the food out, you know, Christmas Day to make dinner and blah, blah, blah. And a raw turkey sitting on the counter was not a good thing, not knowing if you're ever going to have it back on. And
sure.
And I just kept saying to myself, I need a reset. I need a reset. I need a reset. The electricity went off, was off for 4 or 5 hours. I finally calmed down and said it was going to be fine. And then don't you know, when the guy came, it was outside. Just the main breaker had popped outside on the breaker box outside, not inside the house, outside. And all you had to do was go flip it. And it was like their main control panel. And I said, oh, my gosh, it just gave me time to reset. That was all. And it was just so interesting. You know, where really, you know, you just put it out there. You just need a reset, and your energy and your static can be felt. When it's reset, then it's all is okay. So really what you say about it stinking up behind you, when you try to hold things behind you, you just don't seem to be that authentic person that's really, you know, in a conversation with someone or helping someone or anything, right?
Exactly. You know, and writing, for those of you that are listening tonight and you're wondering why you are being called to write or encouraged to write or being led to write or feel like you need to write a book, my experience in working with new authors, and I've worked with 85,000 aspiring authors or so, and I've worked with them for 32 years and plus work with myself, what I've discovered is if there's a book trying to come through you, it's a result of God reaching out and trying to connect directly with you again through the writing of that book. And according to the New York Times, 81% of Americans feel as if they have a book stuck inside them that they need to get out. 81% of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a reason for that. Now, it doesn't mean that it's limited to just you connecting with God, but that's the primal reason for your desire to write a book. And then you can go on to become an author, be a teacher, be a speaker, be a celebrity, or just take that book and hide it behind your bed. Whatever you want to do with it, doesn't matter. But either way, there's something that's calling to be energetically released and potentially tangibly released into life in the form called a book. And Aristotle said, to live a full and complete life, every human being needed to write a book. He understood the spiritual significance of it. So the writing of the book is bigger than us. It's bigger than our excuses. It's bigger than our fears. And it will not go away. It will not go away. And the best thing you can do if you feel you've got a book stuck inside you, for you and your family, the healthy thing you can do is write it. And believe me, you can write it. I work with new authors all the time, people from all age brackets, all educational levels, from all over the world. And some people come into the retreats confident. A lot of them come in with a lack of confidence. But they have desperation. They have frustration. That's leading them to take the step to try something completely different to counterbalance the fears of expressing and finding out who they really are and accepting who they really are through the expressing of that. And that's what the form of book takes. That's the form of book takes. So is this really a choice between pain and pleasure, love and fear? I mean, you know, a hero is someone who has fears and moves beyond them. A coward is someone who has fears and moves behind them. And this is all about writing a book, and it's all about whether you choose to be a coward or a hero. For me, my motivation is I don't want to die a coward. I mean, that's it. And when I write, I feel good. When I don't write, I don't feel good. So it's all about feeling good and not feeling good or not feeling good. And when I have a book coming through me, I have to let that book out, because otherwise start to experience pain, I start to age, I start to get ill, because that beautiful divine white light energy is getting stuck in me. And it's not to be expressed.
And also, too, as you say, that it is a divine message. And, you know, so many of us, as you say in your book, you know, we could go through life like worrying about the fear to kill the messenger. Do you know what I mean? So, in other words, people are so afraid to put those words down, because they're feeling that that judgment phase and everything, you know, other people are going to judge me. You know, I'll tell you, all I needed to do, I don't know what kind of life I led, but all I know is that so many times people say to me, oh, you're not good for this profession. The dean for three of the colleges that I went to took me aside at different times in my life and said, you're not good for this profession. You're not going to reflect this profession correctly. And I went, what the heck? Where is this coming from, you know?
Yeah.
And it was, like, so profound. And you're just and I just went, oh, just let it go, keep going, you know. And I didn't let it stop me, but it was really interesting that those would come up so many times. And, you know, so many people will hold that back and say, gosh, if they said that, then how could I possibly write something, right?
Well, we all have undesirability issues, and those are things we acquire during life. Those are not things we were born with. And when we move beyond that undesirability, we find true grace, and enlightenment. One time I was traveling to a lecture in Florida, and I was traveling back, actually, my home in Virginia at the time. And after I lecture and after I teach, I really just want to be left alone. I just want to go into a meditative state, recharge my own batteries. And there was this gentleman sitting next to me on the plane. They kept talking to me. And what I found strange was I had headphones on, so he had to have to lift the headphone off my ear to talk to me, and I wasn't making any indication that I actually wanted to converse. But after he kept doing this for about 15 or 20 minutes, I realized that he was probably some type of angel or messenger that needed to say something to me. So took off the headphones, and I engaged in the conversation with him. And he said, you know, I noticed you were listening to Jimmy Buffett. I said, yes, he's a childhood friend of mine. I said, oh, that's great. He goes, no, the point I want to make to you is Jimmy was terrible. He was a terrible lyricist. He was a terrible musician. He was a terrible singer. But he stayed with it because he knew it was in his heart. And as bad as he was, he became great because he realized that no matter what somebody said, the dream was in his heart, and he had to live it to be happy. And I thought, wow, what a great message. And that's true with writing or anything else. You know, the resistance we have from the outside world tempers us like a fine steel. If we let it, if we look at it and say, this isn't hurting me, this is helping me, this is making me stronger, this is giving me the opportunity to believe even more strongly myself, and then criticism can work for us. And those fears of undeservability go away as a result. So, you know, from my point of view, and again, I have a very biased point of view because I've been doing this for a long time, and I've experienced the results of my methods for decades now, I don't see any reason why anyone couldn't write a book if they wanted to. And I really feel that everyone should write a book, if not for them, for those who they love, because until they write that book, they are not totally there in the lives of the people that they most love. So, I mean, again, it's not hard to write a book. You need a few things. Number one, you need heart, and everyone has a heart already. Number two, you need direction on how to do it. It counterbalances what you've learned up to this point, because what you've learned has led you astray. It hasn't led you to be a successful writer. Third of all, you need to set aside time, but not much time. 3 days is plenty. 3 8-hour days is way plenty. And then you need to have a separate space by which you will do it. And heck, a camping trip would do it. A friend's living room would do it. A place in your own home, a hotel or motel that you want to go to. So we're really talking about devoting 3 days to an event that will totally change your life, your health, your viewpoint, and the lives of those who love you. And if you want to publish, it could change the lives. Your book could change the lives of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people everywhere. So I guess from my point of view, I see no reason why a person wouldn't follow through in writing a book. Now, one major dilemma writers do have, and this is something that I feel needs to be addressed, is divine timing. And it seems like most people who end up writing books receive premonitions early on in their lives about the fact that they were supposed to write books. And they received a premonition, but they didn't understand that what they received was a premonition and not a statement of fact. So I would say everyone that comes to my retreats feels like they're procrastinators because they got the initial impulse to write when they were 15 and now they're 45. So they think they've been procrastinating for 30 years. when actually just because they saw they were going to write a book, they just did not mean they were meant to write it at 15 or 20 or 25, but 45 was the time that the birth canal opened for the book. So most people come in with guilt, shame, and remorse, none of which are motivating factors. And if you're feeling like that out there, listeners, they drop that. No one's motivated positively by guilt, remorse, dissatisfaction, or frustration. Drop it and realize that probably the reason you're listening to this talk show right now is because now is your time. So now act on writing your book. Now act on writing your book. And if you want to know more about my system, how to employ it, go to my website, TomBird.com. There's all types of free books and products and CDs on there. Get your feet wet. See what it's like. And allow yourself to be convinced that there is a different, more effective way for you to become the author that you feel called to be.
And definitely it's about when I work with end-of-life clients also, they will say, can you write this down for me? Or I want to tell a story. Or there's something I want to say that I didn't say before. Or some people might record it or whatever. In other words, they always want to rush to release that which is holding them back just before they pass away. And there's always that, like, angst is that they've just got to get it out of them because they feel like they won't be worthy to God, you know, if they don't get it out now. And what we're saying is that granted there is timing, don't wait till the last moment if you can help it, you know.
Right.
I mean,
you can also say to God, I'm available third weekend of July. And God, as if it were patience, so God will wait to that weekend. Just show up that third weekend of July. And if you don't show up, then it gets a little testy. But just show up.
Yeah.
Just show up. And if you need to change the appointment because if something came up, change it. Do it respectfully. Do it formally. And then just show up the next time. But it's so much easier, from my perspective, to live your life through facing your fears as a writer and writing that book than it is to constantly be running from it and running from yourself and running from your destiny, running from your purpose, running from your voice, running from your divine message, which is, it's a lot like Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. When you're not writing a book, you're supposed to, the posse never leaves you and you can always hear them behind you. The rumble of the horse's hooves. And eventually you're going to have to jump off that cliff. Now, either jump off that cliff to write a book or just jump off that cliff, do yourself in. It's up to you. I would suggest writing the book.
And it sounds so, I think when we say about also writing the book, some people I know, well, let's talk about myself. I always think I have to have a beginning and a middle and an end, and it needs to be a thought that goes all the way through. Yet what I've realized over the past few months is, you know, doing this radio show, I've got over 300, 350 books that authors have sent to me, and I've read every single one of them, and every single book was unique in the way it was written. It doesn't have to be a beginning, a middle, and an end in a thought, in a whole book. It could be in a page, a chapter, two lines, a paragraph, you know. And so whatever you're writing out, just put it down, I think, is what you're really focusing on, is getting the message out is step one. Worry about the other stuff later, right?
Well, yes. I think there's two things we need to approach in this conversation. Number one, the reason you want to write, and I mean you and everyone that's listening, is because there is a book stuck inside you trying to get out. That book's already written, and it's on the other side of life. You wrote it before you got here. So when you want to tap into that book, and when you tap into that book will write itself. And because it's broader and greater and more appreciative of you than you have the ability to be appreciative of yourself, it will come out differently and better than you ever thought possible. But what I'm really talking about is not creating a book, because that carries a lot of undeservability with it, that concept. What I'm talking about is releasing a book. And the thing that could get in the way of you not getting in the way of you releasing that book is personal misinformation and wounds. And that's why the first step of writing a book is clearing out that catharsis, so it's much easier to connect directly with that divine part of yourself. And I encourage your listeners tonight to go to my website and download a free copy of my book called Right to Heal. It's the smallest book ever wrote, but it's the most powerful book. It's only about 34 pages in length, Right to Heal. And it is the required reading for anyone that attends one of my retreats. So we want to heal before we sit down and write your book, as opposed to sit down and try to heal while writing the book, which is two powerful acts happening at once and can be conflicting. So you want to go through your author's catharsis, then realize that the reason you want to write is because there is a book stuck inside you, or in most cases, book stuck inside you that's looking to get out. And once you heal, the doorway opens up wide enough of your consciousness for that book to fit through into your life. Until then, it's squeaking through cracks in the doorway. So we got to open that door,
right,
take the door off the hinges, take the wall down, and here comes that book.
How about, can you share a little bit about this? You said the chapter, the psychology class that changed your life as an author. You know, I think that was interesting. When, as soon as I saw that, it just dinged in my head. I had this priest that I had a philosophy class, and it was at a Jesuit college here in New Orleans in the 70s. And the assignment was to write a paper on who am I. Now, I came from a very small town in Pennsylvania, and in the 70s, I mean, I was not worldly at all, got dropped off in New Orleans, and all of a sudden I had to write this paper on who am I. What the heck did I know about that? I mean, I remember going to the library and getting the philosophy encyclopedias and, you know, looking at all of these different philosophers and just kind of pick something out and put it down on paper. Yet it came full circle again, and it just hit me when you wrote this. And can you share a little bit about your chapter on your psychology class?
Yeah, it actually came to me as a result. The understanding came to me as a result of a mini nervous breakdown. I tried everything conventional to become the author I felt I was inside. I picked up a degree in writing. I read every book I could find on writing. I actually had the ability and an opportunity to be in the company of best-selling authors. I used to be a publicist for the Pittsburgh Pirates, a big league baseball team, and we were a good, very good baseball team, so I had access to a lot of authors. And I openly asked them the question, how do you become the author you were meant to be? And none of them really knew the answer. So after about 4 or 5 years of trial and tribulation and seeking for answers and failing as a writer, I got down on my hands and knees and asked for divine guidance one night. And I got it 2 nights later. I woke up in the middle of a dream, and I could see that dream playing itself out before my mind. And I could see how I'd been led and given everything I needed to write to be the author I was, but it didn't come from the writing class, it didn't come from the authors, it didn't come from the publishing industry. It came from the psychology classes. Because in my psychology classes, I learned about the right-left brain theory, which at that time was a new thing. And I learned how to access the author I was and access the divine author and not only write a book, but be led to where the book needs to go through the accessing of that right brain. So that was the most pinnacle understanding in my career. And that was the slap on the head, the whack on the side of the head that I needed to be involved with the truth and find my way through the quagmire of confusion usually associated with approaching a writing career.
You know, I think a lot of people, well, that I've spoken to, in fact, it seems like in the past few years, they said that they've all come to this point where their health, their mental health, their physical health, their life just came to a screeching halt. And it was really at the tipping point whether or not that they were going to jump on that bandwagon or not. And they didn't know what the bandwagon was. And I know for myself, I've called the last several years the abyss. I said, I really feel like I'm in the abyss.
Yeah.
It's just this place where there's just the path has lost its pebbles. You know, there is no more. It's just the abyss. Could not explain it to anybody. Everybody looked at you like you got 10 heads. Finally, I just didn't bother to talk to anybody. And that's when I started doing the radio. I said, well, I'm going to find the answers or the way this way. And I can remember there was a mountain in Pennsylvania, and it's called Elk Mountain. And this mountain is where all of the high school, when I was up there, the high school, we all used to go to ski up there. And anyway, on Facebook, I had friended the Elk Mountain page. About 4 years ago, there was some wonderful blog postings. They would be a picture of maybe a deer tracks in the snow or a flower coming through on a snow-covered mountain where skiers were there, whatever it would be. But it would be very mm-hmm. nature-oriented. And the person would really tell a story, you know, that how they felt. So I followed this for about 2 or 3 years, and I kept sending a message to the page saying, when are you going to write your book with the blog postings and pictures? Let me know. And I kept doing this repeatedly for the past 4 years. I've been doing this like maybe every once a year or so. This past Christmas, 2 weeks before Christmas, I get an email from them that's rather a Facebook message, and it says, I need your address. And I'm thinking, who is this? Somebody's spamming me, right? I'm not going to give anybody my email address. So I said, well, you send me yours, and I'll get it to you. And then they sent me a book. I got it just this past week, and it was a very small book, and it had a few blog posts and pictures, and it said the nature of Elk Mountain. And the person said that they were very thankful that I had contacted them, and it started them on as their writing career. And I went, oh, wow, you know? And they had a little business card in there, and it said writer on it. So I called them up, and I started to talk to the guy, and he started crying. And I said, what's wrong? He says, you do not know. He said, I have had such a desperation in the past 10 years of being lost in life. And when you said that one time about being a writer, he said, I knew it was right for me, but the time wasn't right. And it's taken me now 4 years, and here's my first book. I wanted you to have it. And he only printed 10 of them. And I went, wow, you know? And that's exactly what you experienced, maybe on a much more global and a much more, you know, many more people. But this was just my experience with that, and it was just so profound, and it was just so great to know that. He only got 10 books done, and, you know, he was so happy, and he felt so he felt the release. He just couldn't stop crying. It was just so interesting.
That's great. Well, you know, again, desperation is the forefather of faith. And, you know, when we write a book, if it influences a million people or it influences one person who influences millions of people, it served its purpose. And our job is to let it come through. I mean, the first person healed and enlightened by our book is ourselves. And even if you may say, well, I just want to write a simple children's book, or I want to write a romantic novel, that doesn't mean that you are not positively affecting people's lives, including your own. They don't have to be deep psychological, spiritual books. They can be something easy and trite to see. They could be Harry Potter. They could be 50 Shades of Grey. Those are positively affecting people's lives. And we consciously, as human beings, we don't consciously know what other people need from our books. But the books know, and if we allow the books to lead the way, the books will show us what others need to becoming that which others need in literary form. And then all the books are asking is, can I borrow your name? Can I borrow your heart? Can I borrow your body? Can I borrow your experience? You'll be paid handsomely for this, through healing, through money, through fame. But I just need to have a human being to work with. And you said you'd do it with me before you were born. So I'm here saying, I'm willing to do it with you. Will you still do it with me? So these books are divine entities by nature. And when they come through us, we become divine as a result. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And you say in your book also, you're just the messenger. If you were here to be able to bring the message forth, you're just being a person who is just, in other words, you're just listening to the story and you're writing it down to share with the people. I guess we could look all the way back, you know, when God said things to disciples or whatever and they wrote it down. Is that not the same thing?
Right. Exactly. You know, Paul was influenced by one dude on the road to Damascus and changed the world. One person.
Right.
One person influenced one person and changed the world. That's what our books are designed to do. And the first world they change, the first world they better is our own, our author's own worlds. So there's a gazillion reasons to write your book. I don't think, from my perspective, this is a good reason not to write it. And there's a way to do it. And I tell you right now, I wouldn't be alive if I had not faced my fears or counterbalanced my fears with a desperate desire to write, because the energy was so strong coming through me that either it would have destroyed me by holding it back or I would have destroyed myself. Mm-hmm. I'm very much alive and very vibrant now because I realize that I'm a part, an important part of something much bigger than me. And I got to let that bigger part of me come through, because if I don't, I will be adversely affected, and so will my family and my friends and my career and the world as a result. We don't want to lose any writers in this world, you know? And mm-hmm. every time somebody has a book inside of them and doesn't write it, we're losing a writer. And that writer is a very important piece of this jigsaw puzzle we call life. And we can't have so many missing pieces.
You know, I had a guest on the radio show, I think it was several months ago, and she had a very unique book that she had her name on as the author, but above it she had her son's name as the author also. And what it was is that her son had committed suicide and passed on, and she had a channel person channel him in the afterlife, and that was the book. And we don't want, you know, and while that is also available, it's, you know, if you're able, now is the time. And that's really what you're saying is now is the time. And it could be something simple. I tell you, like I said in the beginning of this time, I've got at least 600 pages. Some pages have two or three words on it. Some pages have five or six sentences. Some have so much dense text, you really need to copy it and space it out so you could read it. So it doesn't really matter, you know, what you have written. You know, as we've always said, sometimes two to three words are more powerful than, you know, the densest text ever. You might not need all of that, or you might want to. It can be whatever you are guided to put on that piece of paper is what's the most important, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, what we're not talking about channeling. I want to make sure people are really clear on my mm-hmm. viewpoint. We're not talking about channeling. We're not tapping into some entity mm-hmm. floating around out there in space or subconscious. When you approach writing properly and mm-hmm. from the right perspective, you are achieving a direct communion with God, source, whatever you want mm-hmm. to call He, She, a direct communion. And so when you surrender and turn your life over to this greater essence, whatever you call He, She, or it, things seem to fall in place. Because we're now being led by our heart and our purpose and our voice and the ultimate guide, as opposed to our ego. And everything changes. Your physicality, your perspective. It's, you know, we just got through the holiday season, and every holiday season I watch A Christmas Carol, Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm. And I watch it with George C. Scott playing Scrooge, and it reminds me, it just, every year, this is a tradition of the Birdhouse, it reminds me every year that everything is possible, but only everything is possible when you connect directly with God. And everything is, you can have everything you want and more, but you can't do it alone. And the writing of a book gives you that opportunity to have that direct connection for your life to become vibrant and real and purposeful and meaningful, no matter who you are. You may think that, you may have the feelings that you're not educated enough, not bright enough, too old, too young, whatever.
Right.
God doesn't look at human beings like that. God sees mm-hmm. you from your greater potential and your greater perspective and your greater heart. So it's better to go with God's viewpoint than our own, because God knows better than we do. Because God created us.
You know, out of all of the over 300 books that I have, I can honestly tell you there have been some very intellectual people that have big stacked books, and it takes me quite a while to read it, maybe, you know, 2 weeks or so. And I read every book, so if I've got five shows a week, I'm reading five books a week. But there's also some books that are very simple, and they still state very honestly what the author was trying to get across. And those books, in my eyes, as we do the radio shows, are just as important as those other large ones. you know, and they're treated as well, because I think that's the best thing to do, is still to be able to bring out everybody's story and everybody to be able to talk freely on the radio, to be able to share their stories, just as you and I have done today, is we're just sharing our stories, you know. So many times people hold that little tiny piece back, and it's like, just put it down, it's okay. And they'll say, well, I'm afraid to go on the radio. And I said, no, the same thing as you're writing. Just talk freely. Just have a conversation. We're all good to go. And then it really works out.
Absolutely. And it's just being who you are and realizing you're loved, protected, and guided and directed at all times. And, you know, if you feel unworthy, that doesn't mean that you are. It just means that you feel that way. I'm never not amazed. I'm always amazed by the books that come out of the retreats. I mean, you see these quiet, timid, frustrated, desperate people walk into the retreats, and they write these beautiful books. And not only that, but they change their physicality, their expression, their everything, their viewpoint of life changes right before my eyes as they connect directly with the book and directly with God through the writing of their books. It's an amazing thing. It's something I wish everyone would experience before they pass to this planet, because you'd know what heaven is now, here, this place. You'd know because of the change of your viewpoint. And that's something, that's a legacy that we should leave behind for everyone through every breath we take, every person we interact with, so every thought we think. This can be heaven. If we have that divine connection, and a book will kind of lead you to that, having that divine connection, and turn your life into the heaven it deserves to be.
Well, Tom, I think it was great to have you with us today. In closing, could you share with the listeners how they might be able to find out more information about you? I know you do have a lot of those retreats, and you do have a lot of freebies, as you call it, on your website.
Yes. They can contact me through Tom Bird. .com, which is my website, TOMBIRD.com. When tuning into that website, I would recommend they pay special attention to my freebie page, where they can download free classes, free CDs, free books. Because again, this is my ministry, so this is the word I feel led to spread. If you want to call my office and talk to a live human being, you can call my office at 928-821-6946. Again, that's 928-821-6946. And thank you for having me on the show today. It's been a real pleasure. It's been a real pleasure having this interchange.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to find out more information about Tom's book, the link is on the bottom of today's show page. Again, that's tombird.com. And the book we were talking about today is Write from God: You, Words, Writing, and Your Divine Purpose. Please do check it out and pay very close attention. And as you read it, there is one page in here towards the back that will give you specific instructions on how to be able to go to his website, access the information and the freebies on how to progress through this writing process. So definitely pay attention. Every single word is meant to be something that you can use. I know myself, when I read these books, you know, everything is underlined or starred or folded down on the side of the page, read page to page, and it's definitely a book that you will definitely enjoy, because you will see yourself sometimes in some of the words. And I did as well, and it's really good to note that at the beginning of your writing something on the side of the page. So thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to be with you. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and until tomorrow, have a wonderful day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit www.drjeanettewellness.com to schedule a phone appointment today with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.